Now, aren't you glad this morning that we can bring him the pieces? There's so many people in this life that they try to put their life back together themselves. They say, if I can ever get in the right condition, then I'll become a Christian. I'll go to the house of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you this, we don't have the ability to put our lives back together. We have to come to that place to where we realize that all he wants is the pieces. Now, aren't you glad he's able to take the things that are broken and rearrange them into a way that he can create that of a vessel that is worthy of his use this morning? Now, I'm glad this morning, you know what? My life, even now, and again, I find it, it's in pieces. You know, y'all have learned this about me. I am obsessive compulsive. And I love for things to be in a certain order. Whenever the kids were young, I'd come home. And speaking of pieces, that's what the house was torn into. It was torn into pieces. And I would stress over all that little bitty stuff. Didn't matter. Don't matter. But I'm glad that the Lord is able to arrange our lives in a way that just bring in the pieces. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. God's not asking you to figure it all out. God's not asking you to understand everything. He just says, bring me the pieces. What an exchange we have with the Lord. We bring him all of our junk and all of our failures. We bring him all of our shortcomings, all of our sin. He takes that, and in exchange, he gives us forgiveness and salvation. He gives us joy and peace. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. Have your Bibles, turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Let me say this about the church at Philippi. It was a church that Paul was madly in love with. His heart, every time he thought about them, his heart was full. Don't you believe that's the way we ought to feel about our church, that our heart ought to be full? You know, one of the saddest things, I think, in the body of Christ is to have a church that's in turmoil. And don't misunderstand me. I know that every church has its share of difficulty. But isn't it good to be able to come to the house of God and worship? Not worry about something that happened in the past or whether or not we have an ought with one another. Just to be able to worship in truth and in spirit. And here he tells the church, and I'm going to read the first verse and we'll go to verse 4. Now I already said this, therefore my brethren, my dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. There are times that a man of God needs to stand behind the pulpit and encourage us to go forward. And the church of the living God should always be moving forward. We don't want to take one step forward and two steps back. But every now and then, I think it's good for the church of the living God just to stand still and stand fast and take an account of what God has blessed us with. Now, you look at that person on your right and you look at that person on your left. I look around at all these different children. Yeah, even him and even her. And what God has blessed us with. And God has been so good to us. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If you want to have peace with God, rejoice in the Lord. If God has done something good in your life, rejoice. And he says rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know why he said that twice? Because Paul knew something about the human nature of people. That so often, instead of finding a reason to rejoice, we look for a reason to complain. But I'll assure you of this, if you stand fast or stand still for just a moment, you'll find a whole lot more to rejoice in than you will to complain about. If you want to make your complaints few, rejoice in the Lord and what God has done for you and for I. Now I think about being a grandfather. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I look at these young children. I rejoice in the Lord. I look at a people whose heart is full of the grace and love of God. It makes me want to rejoice in the Lord. I look at the sunshine, the way it come up, and the cool air on my face, and the beautiful creation of God. It makes me want to rejoice. But when I go back unto that night that I needed the Lord and was lost and undone, and He saved my soul, above all things, that makes me want to rejoice in the Lord. And forgive me for just a little bit. I may have myself a fit, but for a little while, I just want to rejoice in the Lord. See, He's done some good stuff for me. He's done some stuff for me that I could not do for myself. And whether it's all right or not, I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord a little while. I tell you what, I've been sad and depressed before in my life. I've been troubled and hurt in my life. And while there's a spirit inside my soul to rejoice, I just want to rejoice. You know what the Bible said? Rejoice with them that will rejoice. To anybody happy in the Lord that'll rejoice with the preacher for just a little while. God has done some good things in our life. God has birthed us into a family that is beautiful and pure and full of love. And we all ought to rejoice for a little while in the Lord. Well, I tell you what. Hey, there are times that I find myself wanting to have a good crying, just pour out all the brokenness within me. This ain't one of those days. You say, Brother Russell, why? Y'all must have sold a lot of pumpkins yesterday. That's why you're happy in the Lord. No. Oh, it was a good day yesterday, but you know what? It was a good day the day before that. It's been a good day every day since the day the Lord saved my soul, and even the worst of days down here. Listen, whenever we get over there, we won't remember those anymore. By the way, we've been saved by the grace of God. We're headed to a home in glory. We'll see Jesus again, and when we get there, we'll rejoice forever. So why not just practice a little while now? If you don't like to rejoice, I'll tell you what, heaven ain't going to be too good for you. It really won't, but I'll say this. Hey, when we get there, everybody will rejoice. It'll be good for all of us. All right. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Always and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Listen, he said, now, that word moderation, it means a stillness of spirit. That means when we look at that biblical word moderation, it means, now here's a word that some of y'all are not going to be able to understand. It means to have a calmness within your soul. Now I know a lot of you, and you know me. My son knows me as good as anybody in here. And I don't always have that calmness on the outside, but thank God I've got a peace down on the inside. Listen, and peace truly starts, and I'm getting ahead of myself. You cannot have peace in your soul without having first peace with God. Paul addresses this. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now listen, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, he said, don't worry, just pray. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Now, here's the problem with that. There are a lot of us that love to pray, and we love to worry also. And I've come to realize about this, about myself, that a lot of times I turn things over into the hands of God through my words, but in my soul, I'm still gripping things tight. And you know what an arrogant thought it is to believe that we can control anything other than our behavior. I can't control the next breath. I can't control the health of my children. I can't control what the economy's going to do. But I am putting my trust, I'm putting my soul, I'm putting my life in the hands of a God that loves me. And I can still rejoice even though I don't know what tomorrow brings. Why can you rejoice? I know the Lord has control. Amen. And so he said, don't worry, just pray. Let's talk about prayer for just a minute. So much of our prayer life is dedicated to, Lord, I need, I need, I need. Is that anybody else's prayer life? Lord, now I need you to do this. So Lord, will you do that? He said, with prayer. And here's the key, thanksgiving. Now, if you really get to where you ought to get with the Lord in prayer every now and then, it's hard to ask for anything. When you're too busy thanking the Lord for what He's already done and what He's already given you, I'm going to tell you something, Lord have mercy. Oh, listen, it's hard to even request anything when you begin to count the blessings that God has already given you. And every now and again, we ought to just stop on the asking side and just keep on giving thanks. Is there anybody thankful for what you have and what God has blessed you with? Is there anybody thankful where you're going? Hey, by the way, one day after a while, I'm leaving this world. I'm going to be with Jesus, and we'll go into a place where there'll be no sorrow. Oh, we ought to thank Him. He's worthy of our thankfulness. And you know what? We ought to show Him the gratitude of our heart. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we're so thankful. Now that gets us to verse 7. This is a thought that God has laid on our heart this morning. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning, God being our helper, about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Do you realize that we can only have peace when we truly have peace with God first? That God is the source of all peace. Do you know why the world is in so much trouble and so much turmoil? They don't have the Lord in their life and they don't have peace in their life. Listen, God is the source of our peace. And listen, in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul said that Jesus Christ has become our peace. And when you look at that scripture and you study it out, He became the peace offering. See, man had sinned against God, and that had taken away the peace and the relationship between man and God. It is our sin that separates us from God. But what the Lord Jesus Christ did, He said, Father, I'm going to go and I'm going to restore them that they might have peace with you. And the source of all peace is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now on the cross of Calvary, listen. Our peace was not just given. Our peace had to be won. In the Garden of Eden, Adam gave up his peace with God. Mankind gave up peace with God through their sin and through what they had done in the Garden of Eden. There was this separation. He cast them out of the garden. But thank God, throughout all the Old Testament scripture, there was a lamb that would be slain in the days of Isaac. There was a lamb that was given in his stead in the days of the temple and the tabernacle. There was a lamb that was slain. Is it anyone? Under John saw Jesus coming from afar off and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There had to be an offering for our peace. When He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, my heart is sorrowful even unto death. He was full of trouble and sorrow. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ understands the turmoil that's in the man's heart that comes in the sorrow that we feel. On Calvary, when He cried, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, you preached about that, Jason. My God, why hast thou forsaken? I'm going to tell you, God did not turn His back on His Son, but God looked away as He became the great sin offering for all of mankind. And we know that it was accepted when He died and gave up the ghost. The temple veil rent from the top to the bottom. God said, now through the blood that He shed on Calvary, oh man, and we have peace with God through His sacrifice. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot have peace with God without having accepted and having believed and having indwelt in you the offering that He made on Calvary. Jesus died for you. And until you accept that, you will not have peace with God. You say, Brother Russell, I can do things and I can do good works and that'll give me peace. Oh, it might give you peace for a season, but it won't give you eternal peace. Now listen, there's so much of our society that is trying to have peace with God through different types of, you know, different types of interaction there. You know, they're trying to do good works. They're trying to take care of the environment. They're trying to do all this stuff. What about a people that'll believe in Mother Earth but don't believe that Father God made the earth? It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to tell you, true peace comes when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing that He died for you. And we have peace with God. But I'm going to tell you this, it is a peace that surpasses all understanding. All right, I'm going to ask a question. You can raise your hand now. I need some class participation. How many of you in here, whenever the Lord saved you, did He give peace to? The first thing that come to you, what was your thought? Was it not the peace of God? Listen, here's how we know we've truly been saved. It's not that I saw 1,000 lights gleaming, you know, and the sun set. It's not that God took me to some specific place other than the altar where I prayed. It was that there was great trouble in my soul. And what happened by faith, I believe the blood was shed for me. And that blood, that offering, it covered my sin. And peace came rushing into my heart. Did anybody feel that when you got saved? That is the peace of God. How can you explain that? I'll be honest with you. I hear a lot of good testimonies. Hear a lot of people talk about God's peace and what it means to them. But I'm going to tell you, it's a peace that surpasses understanding. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me. If you've never been saved, it is a feeling and a peace that is far better felt than it is told. And everything that we can preach and everything that we can say will never do it justice. But the very moment you get saved, you'll understand what we're all talking about. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen, peace in the storm. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ stands up in the midst of your storm and He stills the storm. Remember when they were on the boat and they woke Him up and He stepped to the edge or the stern of the ship and said, "Peace be still." And in the midst of the storm, He brought them peace. But something, I want you to hear this, God, please. Sometimes He brings you peace right in the middle of the storm. Sometimes you got to write it out. But while you're writing it out, you can still have the peace of God. You say, prove that to me in the Bible. Paul and them got in a great storm, a big hurricane. He said, all hope that we should be saved was lost. He got missing in the midst of that storm. See, they stayed in that storm for 14, 18 days. They'd been tossed to and fro. He got down in the stern of that ship and began to call upon the Lord. Is there anybody in the house of God been in a storm? And you cried out to the Lord and said, God, I need some help. Show me something. He came up. And everybody else has got that sad. You know what? Listen, if you hear anything, hear this. If you want to be miserable, the rest of the world will help you. If you want to be miserable, there are a lot of people, they'll go down with the ship with you. They really will. Matter of fact, if you fall down, they might help push you down further and faster. He's down in the stern of the ship. He comes up. Can't you see the energy in his soul? The light in his soul. He said, boys, you should have listened to me. We should have never set sail. But by the way, I prayed tonight and God heard my prayer. There's an angel of God whose I am and who I serve. And he said, you're going to lose a ship and its content, but everybody else is going to be all right. Wherefore, sirs, I believe God. Say, Brother Russell, my ship feels like it's sinking. I'm going to tell you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not sinking. You just need Jesus on board and you need His peace to help you in the midst of the storm. Listen, there's great conflict all around us, and I said this, and I believe it's of the Lord. I know it's of the Lord. Our peace was not given up by Satan just automatically. It had to be won. And it was won on Calvary. And listen, whenever Jesus got out of the grave and the stone rolled away on the third day and He walked out with the keys of the kingdom of God, I want you to know He is the key to our peace. When He walked out, death was defeated. When He walked out, sin was defeated. The grave was defeated and the children of the living God ought to walk in victory. Jeremy, you led that song this morning. Victory in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, hey, it's good when Georgia wins. It's good when our teams win. But I'm going to tell you, on Calvary, something was won for me and for you. On Calvary, a way was made. And one day, by the way, we're going to have a great parade and celebration in glory when we crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody wants to be a part of celebration, don't I? I'd rather celebrate than I would be down and out. Listen, I want you to hear this, church. Listen. You can still celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're going to come and we'll go into Christmas season and we'll celebrate His birth. I want to remind you this. We can celebrate His victory every day. But I'm going to tell you, some of you that have never been saved, you'll never know victory until you claim it for yourself. You've been around it. You've seen evidence of it. But you've got to claim that peace for yourself. It's between you and God. I can't give it to you. The church can't give it to you. But boy, we sure have prayed that you would come to know that peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Closing. So here they were. They've been in captivity for 400 years, led out by God's chosen leader Moses, standing at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind them. Their past catching up to them. All hope looking like it was lost. Boy, isn't that God? Right when things seem their worst, God shows up. There they are, pinned against the Red Sea. Moses' command from God was, stand still and see. I want to ask you this morning, still your mind long enough. In your spirit, stand still long enough to hear the word of the Lord. Russell, what is the Lord saying to you and to me? That He is the author of peace. And He don't want you to be in turmoil. He wants you to have peace in your soul through what Jesus did on Calvary. Stand to your feet this morning. Oh, thank God, thank God. The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms all the benefits of being a child of God. Does anybody know there's some benefits of being saved? Amen. Can I tell you, and I hope you can feel this, from the depths of my heart, what the greatest benefit of being saved is that surpasses everything else? I have peace. I have peace in my heart with God. regardless of whether it rains out the pumpkin day, it rains out, or this or that happens, I have peace with God. Here's the question. Do you this morning truly have peace with God? If you don't have peace with God, come and find peace. He'll take the pieces and He'll build you a life. What you got, son?
Number 11.